Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever had eye trouble? I know that some of you have had various eye surgeries lately, but that's not the kind of eye trouble that I'm talking about. What the kind of eye trouble that I'm referring to is the eye that is spelled simply capital I. That's me. And whether or not you have perfect vision or any problems with your eyes, that is not really the important thing that determines whether or not you have this kind of eye trouble. And in fact, all of us, no matter what our vision is like, have this kind of capital I trouble. It's when we live as though the entire world revolves around us, that we are the center of the universe. It's the kind of attitude that we have when we don't let anything or anyone get in the way of what I want. It's a self-serving attitude. It's an attitude that says, I am the most important. My needs and my wants are more important than what anyone else needs or wants. Whether it's my spouse or my children or an acquaintance, a coworker or a neighbor, a friend, all of us are guilty of this kind of eye trouble to varying degrees in our lives. Now contrast that attitude that we so often sinfully slip into with the attitude that the Apostle Paul, divinely inspired, expresses here in these words of our sermon text from 2 Corinthians, when he says, "We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Yes, according to God's word, we see very clearly that there is someone far more important than I. We do not preach ourselves. Rather, we are servants, slaves even. Now that is a radically different attitude and mentality than the one that is so often promoted by the world around us today. We're often tempted to look inward, to look within ourselves for a sense of our accomplishment, for a sense of our own worth. We like to feel important. We like to think that we're indispensable, whatever it is, whether it's our team or our workplace, our community, our home, even our church could never get along without us and our work and our ideas, without perhaps our offerings and the time that we invest. We tend to focus inward, to focus on ourselves. We don't love the Lord our God with all our heart, and with all our soul, and with all our strength. We do not always love our neighbor as ourselves. Instead, so often, we focus only or mostly on ourselves. And in a similar way, we often judge another person's worth according to how much good they seem to be doing. And while it's true that good deeds are admirable and certainly very beneficial, sometimes we put too much focus on the person and the things that they are doing that we lose sight of who is most important, and that is Jesus, our Savior. What a treasure He is, as our reading expresses. He is God the Son, the eternal God, with all power, with all glory and honor and wisdom and strength and knowledge. He existed before the beginning of the world, from all eternity. And as the Apostle John writes in the first chapter of his gospel, through him, through Jesus, everything was made. And without him, not one thing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And yet, in spite of all that, in spite of all that he had, he willingly gave it all up. He laid it aside, and he came down to earth. Not as the almighty, all-knowing, all-glorious God, but setting that aside, he came as a lowly human being. He was born in a stable and laid in a feeding trough as his crib. He lived here on earth, helping and teaching and proving that he is the promised Christ. Finally, he was put to death on a cross. He suffered and he died for us in our place. He did all of that because of our eye trouble, because of our failure so many times, every day of our lives, in fact, to put God and his will first in our lives. By his death, he fully forgives all of our sins. He takes all of our guilt and all the punishment that our sins deserve. He takes all of that away from us. The victory and the forgiveness that he earned on the cross was completed when he rose from the dead in glorious triumph on the third day after his crucifixion. And so as the Apostle Paul writes in our reading, he is a precious treasure for us. And now he comes to us. Jesus comes to us in his word, in the Lord's Supper, through his own body and blood, and by the power of God the Holy Spirit, we believe in him. We believe that he is our Savior and that all of these wonderful promises and blessings are true for us. As the Apostle Paul writes in verse 6 of our reading, "For the God who said, 'Light will shine out of darkness,' is the same one who made light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ." Think all the way back to the very beginning as God tells us what happened in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, there was nothing. And God created the empty form of the world and the universe, but all was in darkness. And then God simply spoke and said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And in that same way, by his powerful word, by his life-giving word, God has made the light of the love and forgiveness of Jesus shine in our sin-darkened hearts. And it's very clear from what God tells us here that that light is not from us. It is from God himself. Think about if you memorized in your youth Luther's explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed in his small catechism, where he wrote, "I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." Think about how it worked with Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, and a dear friend of Jesus. One of the times in the Bible that it mentions that Jesus himself wept because of the death of his dear friends and how that death affected his other dear friends, Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. Lazarus had died. Jesus intentionally waited, did not go there while he was still living and sick and could be healed and prevented from dying. Jesus waited until he was dead. And then he finally came, and after Lazarus' body had been buried in the grave for 4 days, and everyone knew that it was impossible. He was too far gone. His body would already begun to rot and stink. Yet Jesus brought him back to life simply by saying, "Lazarus, come out." Now that dead corpse of Lazarus' body, he had no physical capacity to hear those words of Jesus and certainly no spiritual capacity to respond to them. But those very words of Jesus himself brought Lazarus back to life. Those powerful words of Jesus gave Lazarus that spiritual power and also the physical power to come back to life. That's also the way that God works in our hearts. The Holy Spirit comes to our sin-deadened, lifeless hearts through the gospel, and he creates in us the gift of being able to spiritually hear and to believe in the good news that Jesus is our Savior from sin. That gift, that precious treasure of life, eternal life through Jesus, that gift is put into clay jars. We are those clay jars that hold that precious treasure of the good news of salvation through Jesus. In other words, we are mortal. We're imperfect. We're frail and fragile. Our human existence, our life, is frail and fleeting. It is like breakable clay that experiences severe pressures, as we read about in these verses of our text. Verse 8 says, "We are hard-pressed on every side. We're worn down by the daily grind of life and the burdens that we bear through life. We go to work day in and day out. Sometimes life and everything else in life is a real chore for us to bear. The children whine, the dishes on the laundry pile up. Maybe there are arguments at home. Maybe there's dissension, even in the church. There's sometimes simply just too much for us to bear, too many expenses that our income simply can't meet, and we have no idea how we can continue on. We are hard-pressed on every side. We are perplexed," it also says. Think about all the things in life that perplex us, that trouble us, that cause us to question, perhaps question God's goodness, why God allows this to happen in our lives. Why this sickness? Why now? Why did my loved one have to die? Why now? Why is my marriage not the continually, constantly happy life that I thought it would be before I entered into it? Why is my son or daughter rebelling? I tried so hard to raise them in the right way. There's so much stress in my life. What can I do? Why do I feel so lonely, even in the midst of all these people? Paul also writes in verse 9, we are persecuted. Now maybe in this country we have it easy compared to believers in Jesus in some other countries around the world, even today, where they are physically persecuted, sometimes tortured and killed for their faith in Jesus. But still, in this country also, we face persecution. We face ridicule and sometimes ostracization, or ostracism, however you say that word, being ostracized for believing in Jesus, cast out from polite society, scorned and mocked and laughed at. People say Christianity is just a crutch for the weak and simple-minded. Other people say, come on, just don't worry about it. Just have a few extra drinks with us. Have some fun. Let loose. Other people say, don't push your morality on me. Don't be so narrow-minded. Don't be judgmental. Don't judge me. Paul also writes, we are struck down. How are you struck down at times in life? Maybe the goals that you have had for your life don't seem to be working out according to what you had planned and hoped for. I'm not the dad or husband I want to be. I was turned down by the school or the job that I applied to. I got laid off from my job. I've been stricken with a chronic illness or chronic pain. I've had a debilitating accident. Struck down. Yet as strange as it seems, God tells us that the reason that we are clay jars is to show the extraordinary power of this treasure that is from God and not from us. God promises that He supplies us with the power that we need to deal with these hardships and challenges and pressures of life. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so as we read in verses 8 and 9, although we are hard-pressed on every side, yet we are not crushed. Perplexed, yet not despairing. Persecuted, yet not forsaken. Struck down, yet not destroyed. Many times in our life, defeat seems inevitable. Yet our faith in Jesus triumphs. He is our rock and our stronghold, our refuge to whom we can always go in times of trouble. The strength is not in us, in that clay container that's so easily broken. Strength is not in you, but it's in the treasure of Jesus, your Savior, that by God's grace lives in you, in your heart. The strength is in Jesus, whom you proclaim, the good news about whom you share with others. It's not your strength, but it's by the power of God's word, by the good news of his love and salvation through Jesus. And so that is our purpose as clay jars containing that treasure of Jesus and the good news of his salvation. As Paul writes in verse 10, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. You can bring light to those who are still living in the darkness of sin and the guilt that it brings. You can bring the sweet message of life, of eternal life, to those who are dying in their sin. What a privilege that is to be entrusted with such a powerful and sweet life-giving message. So let the light of Jesus shine through you. You have the responsibility of carrying the precious treasure of Jesus to everyone that you meet, to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers, to your neighbors. Let that light of Jesus and his love shine through you, through your words, as you tell the life-giving story of Jesus, of his death, and of his resurrection, and of all the blessings that he brings. And also live with the light of Jesus shining through you, not only in our words, which are so important, because that's the only way that people can be saved when they hear about Jesus as their substitute by his death and resurrection, but also live his love in your actions and in all of the words that you speak. Have the attitude that the Apostle Paul writes about in verse 5. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Be a servant. Not a popular idea in our modern society. Be a help to those who are in need. Use your talents, your time, and your treasure to serve your Lord Jesus by serving other people around you who need your love and care. And as we do that, as we look around us and we look for opportunities, we find that the opportunities to do that, to serve and help others, are limitless. They're endless opportunities. What a privilege it is to be a vessel, to be a clay jar containing such a precious treasure of the good news of the salvation of our loving Savior Jesus. What a privilege that is to be a clay jar for Jesus. And so carry out that wonderful privilege in whatever situation you are in your life. And say with the Apostle Paul as he writes in Galatians chapter 2, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I am now living in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. May the light of Jesus continue to shine through you.